is Mary Burke Rivers, and I'm the Executive Director of Over the Rhine Community Housing. We're a community-based nonprofit development corporation located in Over the Rhine. And I brought some handouts that we probably won't go through, but it's something for you to take with you and review at your leisure. But it'll be kind of the same things that I'm going to talk about. So I work at Over the Rhine Community Housing, and I've been there for going on to, over 22 years. And I got involved because I was a social worker for the County Department of Human Services. And through a series of different positions there, I became the housing specialist. And I really got turned on to housing because I was working with moms who were trying to deal with their own abuse as a child so they could protect their child from an abusive boyfriend or a lot of issues that you need some stability in order to address. So some of the families that I was working with couldn't deal with those issues because they were being evicted next week, or this is the third time they moved in 1 year. So housing became something I was really interested in. And Over the Rhine was a resource for me when I was a social worker. I would call Restock Then or Over the Rhine Housing Network and see if they had an opening. Over the Rhine, too, was also a place where I could, I was encouraged to advocate for affordable housing. So people like Buddy Gray, Bonnie, Margie Waller, others, would encourage me to speak at City Council when there was going to be discussion about the budget and how I could advocate based on my experience sitting next to somebody who was having, even 22 years ago, this impossible job of trying to find a place to live, an affordable place to live, because maybe she'd been evicted before, or maybe some other reason, but because the units didn't exist, the primary reason. So I would go and I would testify and say, we need to spend these public resources toward affordable housing. And at the time, I was pretty naive, because I really thought that I could make a difference in that, like, they hadn't heard this story before. And I just remember how I felt providing this testimony and thinking that that would change things, and it didn't. So at the time, the Milner Hotel was a 115-unit building that provided housing to people, and we were advocating to save the Milner Hotel and not use public dollars to buy the hotel, tear it down, and then turn it over to a private developer for market housing. But we weren't successful there. So that's my little bit about why I got involved in housing. Over the Rhine Community Housing was created so that, for at least two primary reasons. One, so that community could have control of their housing. Even 30, 35 years ago, there were a lot of absentee owners. There was a primary owner, Tom Van Hart, who owned a lot of subsidized building, and there was dollars coming into the neighborhood to provide affordable housing, but the community didn't own it. So there would be evictions. So it was created so the community can control their housing. And thank goodness that we were created back then, because the community does have control of our 420-plus units in the neighborhood. So like many property owners in the neighborhood, we get calls, we get postcards, we get emails from realtors representing people who want to buy our buildings. But we're not going to sell because we have people living there. And we want to make sure affordable housing stays here. The other reason, partially, that we were created was so that housing is a solution to homelessness. So if we wanted to move people off the street and out of shelter, we needed affordable housing to do that. If we wanted to keep people from becoming homeless, we needed affordable housing to do that. So we do lots of other things, but our primary thing is affordable housing. So the basic challenge in affordable housing is it's a math problem. It's gotten way complicated, but essentially it's a math problem that people who are working, people who are retired, people who are disabled, don't have enough money to pay what the market provides in housing. Mm. So there's this gap. So maybe I can afford $200 based on my Social Security, but the market providing a one-bedroom is $700. So I can't find housing. So the challenge is, how do we close that gap? And there's different ways to do it. You can have a subsidy attached to yourself, the renter. So I'm that senior who can only afford $200. I can get a voucher called Section 8 voucher that's attached to me. Then in theory, I can go in the marketplace and I can rent a unit, and the owner can still charge $700. I pay $200. The subsidy program through the federal government picks up the other $500. So he's made whole. He can keep the lights on. He can maintain the building. He can pay his mortgage and things like that. The other subsidy is attached, can be attached to a building. So the Model Group, Brickstone, many of their properties have the subsidy attached to the building. Tom Denhart, who owned a lot of property in the neighborhood, had the subsidy attached to the building. We have some buildings that have the subsidy attached to the building. So that means the same thing, the same scenario works. You move in, you can afford to pay $100, but I need to charge $700 in order to pay the bills, pay my mortgage, pay the maintenance staff. And that all works, because you pay what you can afford, and I get the rent I need to operate successfully. So, good systems. But unfortunately, not enough. So what's happened over the years is those programs have been cut dramatically. So that even when we used to have a deep need for affordable housing, it's even gotten worse now because the subsidy programs have gone away. So like the Section 8 program, to get the voucher, the window of opportunity to apply for that only opens like every year and a half to 2 years, because the wait list that the Public Housing Authority has to get a Section 8 voucher is so long that it doesn't make sense for them to keep taking names. So when the waiting list gets low, they open the window to apply, and then you're drawn by lottery to get your name on the list. So it's not readily available, like many people might think. And then the Section 8 attached to the building program, essentially, it doesn't exist anymore. If you have a building that has that subsidy attached to it, you can probably continue to get that subsidy. But if we wanted to create a new building to get that subsidy, it doesn't exist. For the most part, there's like these little areas every once in a while where the housing authority might do some project-based Section 8 vouchers, but for the most part, it doesn't exist anymore. So what's happening over the Rhine is that we've lost a lot of these kinds of units in the neighborhood through a complicated program where Tom Denhart decided to opt out of the Section 8 program. Other owners have lost their subsidy for different reasons. And there's so many kind of different reasons. And I think that gentrification kind of helps to make that happen, because people can choose to opt out. So many of the buildings that 20, 30 years ago people thought would be affordable forever are offices now, or are condos now. But the big thing then is, where do people go?
Right.
Because it's not being developed anywhere. When I was a social worker, Over the Rhine was a resource and was pretty welcoming, saying, yeah, come on in. We'll work together and make this thing work. But really, no other neighborhood is doing that. As I think maybe a lot of you know, whenever the issue is raised in any neighborhood, there's lots of people who protest and say they don't want it in their neighborhood. So where do people go? They go to neighborhoods that are on the edge, where there's disinvestment, where, I mean, I don't know what you call them, if you call them developers or investors will buy buildings at cheap prices because the neighborhood's on decline, so they can buy some property, and they might cut it up, a single family into a two family, throw some paint on it, and then start renting to people. And maybe they'll take Section 8 vouchers, but they can also rent to people who they know it won't be sustainable, because they're still going to charge maybe a little bit below market, maybe $500. They'll still charge that $500, and maybe I'll rent to you. And $500 is 50% of your monthly income. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be sustainable. And you can't maintain that. So those units turn frequently. There's not a lot of money that goes back into the property. And then people in that neighborhood will point to those units and say, that's affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And that's bringing down our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So we all need to agree that housing is a basic human right and figure out ways to provide affordable housing. When as a country we decided that home ownership was really important, we took some action to support home ownership, not only through the FHA mortgage, but also through our taxes. So when I own a home and I do my annual tax return, I can deduct the interest on my mortgage, I can deduct my real estate taxes. And over the Rhine, because we decided we wanted more market rate and homeowners to come into the neighborhood, if I buy a condo or a newly constructed home in the neighborhood, I get a tax abatement on my real estate taxes for 10 years. Because we decided that that's what we want. So if we all decide we want everyone to have a place to live, we can make it happen. We just have to work together. And on that note, Policy Link is a group out of California that some of us have followed for a number of years. Angela Glover Blackwell is the principal there, and they have something called All In City. It's a new report that they released, and I think the person who wrote this All In City report is going to be speaking in Cincinnati in March or April. It's the person at the Cintas Center, and it's actually a program sponsored by the Cincinnati Chamber of Commerce. And they have this event every year called Securing the Future. So I think it would be something that maybe some of us could go to. I know I'm going to go to it and see what she has to say. And it's about equity, these all-in city ideas about equity and how we make sure that everybody can benefit.